Congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship of Divine Service 1 as printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works
in giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands, are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever,
to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
From the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the
pray. O God, our maker and redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive to him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 63, beginning at verse 7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness of the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Who is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people, so make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forward for the anthem.
All nature sings.
The epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. So that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. I don't see any children, but I have something I think may even apply to adults as much as or more than children. Again, Happy New Year. So we have a custom in our society of New Year's resolutions. And we were even talking about that a little bit in Bible study. And we like the thought of it, but we can't always follow it very well. So it's kind of discouraging. And I was thinking about that a little bit yesterday, and what I was say to you and to the children. Think more like this. A blank piece of paper. What would you do with that? Get a fresh start? You want to draw on it? Make a big paper airplane? Write a note, a letter? What would you like to do with that blank, fresh piece of paper? We can think of that in our lives every day. Just refresh each day. But all the more so in Christ. Our sins, our faults, our problems before God are put away, are washed away, as Scripture says, as far as from the east to the west. 2023, we have a fresh start, but really every day in Christ, we have a fresh start, a fresh page. Maybe get a ream of paper, get a new ream of paper at home, and do something fresh with a new page each day. Just a thought. Make an airplane, write a letter. Print something in your computer printer. If you're angry, rip it up. But fresh each day, we are in Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, give us confidence that we are your people, that you forgive our sins. And each day, in the name of Christ, you guide us, you lead us, you lead us to do things for you and for one another. Give us this freshness always. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn.
Gently lead us and be near.
For the sermon this morning, we complete our thinking and meditations on Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And today we focus on verse 7. To start, I invite you, if you would like, if you don't want to, you can just sit and listen, but I invite you to read with me Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7, out of the book, the Bibles in the pews. They're page 1042, 1042. We read Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7, all together. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We remember the kingdoms all around Isaiah during his time of ministry, during his life, was in tumult. Terrible things were happening. We've thought about several times over this series of sermons, and that northern 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, it's often called, they had gone away from the true worship of the Lord. They had created idols and worshiped some of the local gods, set up their own festivals and places to worship. They were no longer coming to Jerusalem. And they were taken away into captivity by Assyria. And that was a brutal captivity. Jerusalem was spared. Assyria attacked Jerusalem, tried to get Jerusalem. But God preserved the people of Jerusalem and preserved Hezekiah and all his people, worked through Isaiah, so that it said, it recorded in Scripture, that an angel of the Lord wiped out the Assyrian Empire, those soldiers from the Assyrian Empire. So Jerusalem was saved, and Judah remained independent, so to speak. But those 10 northern tribes, so many people carried away into captivity and scattered all about. So as in Isaiah's, and this was over a period of decades, it wasn't just like 1 year done. It was over a period of decades. And numerous times the Assyrians came in and carried off more people and more people. So Isaiah's prophecy is in the setting of captivity, powerful enemies, fear, wondering what's going to happen. And yet, throughout Isaiah, not only in chapter 9, but there's many promises of God for his people throughout the book of Isaiah, and some of these are the main Christmas promises. Christmas texts that we often read are from Isaiah. And what we see in Isaiah is this faith and God's promises. If a person decides, I don't want to believe that, I want to follow some other God, a person who has been believing in God wants to follow some other God, then they can follow some other God. God doesn't force them to believe. But then also, there is not protection from God. You want protection from that God. Okay, go ahead, get protected by him or that. But if you want protection and you want life in Yahweh, the Lord, then there is faith and hope in his promises. And his promises to not only protect, but to forgive and to give true life. All this was part of the message that Isaiah gave to the people at his time. I thought of this ending on this text, verse 7, on New Year's Day, because this text then completes and finishes this prophecy with teaching and promises about God's kingdom. And this is what we really need to be strengthened by and encouraged by as we enter a new year. It's a little bit random picking out the years, but this is how our society and world does it. 1st of January, new year. Well, all the effects of 2022 and 2021 and 2020 and way, way, way beyond still affect us now. But God's kingdom continues into 2023. I don't think I have read an economist, even the most optimistic ones, that don't say there's going to be a downturn in the first half of 2023. It's almost all the way across the board that I've read. Some are very, very dark and gloomy. Some are more optimistic. But they all say there's going to be an economic downturn worse than what we've had. And this has been the worst year since 2008 as far as stocks go. Also, there are predictions, or whatever you want to call them, that this will be the year that China attacks Taiwan and takes over. There were 74 planes from China flying close to Taiwan just a few days ago. What is going to happen in 2023? We don't know. Just this week was enough. The cold weather, no heat, no electric. What's going to happen? And so our times are also times of human troubles. And as we were reflecting and planning on some of the anthems about 2 months ago, looking into the Christmas time, some we were able to sing, some were not because of illness or things like that. This anthem that we sang today struck me as I looked at the words as something that would be good for us to hear on January 1st. This is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems strong, he rules us yet. There are wrongs and evils in the world. In fact, will they even increase, would it seem, in 2023? And yet this is our Father's world. This is what Isaiah ends up in this prophecy, in this specific prophecy in verse 7. And we remember that he had just called in verse 6 this child to be born. He had just called him these names: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who this child is. And in verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. It's interesting when you think about human governments and human kingdoms. Usually, often, more likely, the increase of a kingdom does not include peace. The increase of a kingdom is by warfare, is by colonization, is by a heavy hand. That's how you increase a kingdom. But this king is going to increase his kingdom and peace, both. Jesus increases his rule with peace, and that is God's peace. We've said it many times over, but we remember, When Isaiah talks about peace here and in the previous verse, Prince of Peace, he is talking about shalom. That is the word there in the Hebrew, shalom. And it is this relationship with God, this wholeness, this healthiness. It's just not the absence of war, the absence of fighting. It is wholeness. He is going to increase his kingdom, and there will be an increase of wholeness with God, this divine peace. Isaiah says, he will be on the throne of David and over his kingdom. Over his kingdom. Jesus is a descendant of David, both actually through Mary and Joseph's line, even Joseph not being more like a stepfather, but through Mary and Joseph, he's a descendant of David. And so he steps into the throne as this promised descendant, like in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there is the promise. But Isaiah says, and over his kingdom. So it's not only that he steps into David's human kingdom, it can extend those boundaries that David and Solomon had at the height of the kingdom of Israel, but he is over that. He has that and more. And he has that and more. And I jump down to those two places that are underlined, from this time forth and forevermore. That is more than a human kingdom. No human kingdom goes forevermore. And he says that twice in this, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, I skip a few verses, lines for a moment, from this time forth and forevermore. This is God's divine kingdom that Jesus establishes. And he establishes it when we sometimes hear peace, that word peace, in a human sense, and in the sense of human history. We can think of mistakes made by human governments when we use a peace. Is it peace, we might say, or is it appeasement, right? You're just giving in to evil, not standing up to evil just to let it be. And then, as frequently has happened in human history, that evil gets so large and larger and larger, you didn't stop it, so then it just gets you. You've appeased it, but to a bad result. That's not the peace that Jesus gives. He gives peace and this wholeness to his people. But when he judges and he establishes his kingdom, Isaiah also says he establishes it with justice and with righteousness. The wrongs will be righted. The crimes will be paid for. If they are not forgiven by God, there will be an eternal consequence for evil in this world. This is my Father's world. He is over all things, which also means he judges all things. He protects his people. He also will one day bring justice and righteousness. And in my mind, you can ask Debbie, sometimes I won't say scream, but sometimes I yell, what are they thinking trying to hide that? Because don't they know God is going to expose it? You think you're hiding something, and you may succeed in hiding something for a while, but this is my Father's world. It's going to be known. So, as we go and see evil and wrongs being done, we know this is not fooling God. He's in charge. He wants to take care of his people, and he wants the evil to repent and turn from his ways and believe and be saved. That's what he wants. He will establish this kingdom with his justice and with his righteousness. And this is going to be right and holy in the right way. And when it finally comes and Jesus comes again, we will say, you were right. I was a Christian and I believed in Jesus Christ all the time, but this righteousness, this justice, this judgment,
this is correct. That is right. And we're looking forward to that. We have it, and yet that final judgment is still coming. It will happen. The last sentence of this prophecy is important. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That word zeal is interesting, and you may have studied it at one time or another, but instead of zeal, you could translate that ardor. It's a strange word. We don't use it much. A-R-D-O-U-R. It's love. Fervent love. Sometimes it's translated as jealousy. And we talk about having a jealous God, and people think, well, that's sinful. How can God be jealous? I'll tell you what. When Adam and Eve sinned, and it looked like now they were all condemned with the Satan forever and ever, God said, she and he is not for you. There is enmity between you and the woman and between her seed and your seed, and he will crush your head and you will crush his heel. They are not for you, Satan. There is enmity between them. Why? Because he had ardor, jealousy, love for Adam and Eve, that they would not finally end up with a snake. He loved them. God loves and is jealous, doesn't want his children, his people to suffer and to be misled and to go to hell. He doesn't want that. His great love will establish this kingdom. That's why the child was born. When Jesus, it says in the scriptures, he resolutely turned his face to go to Jerusalem. That was for the love of people and to obedience to his Father to save people, that no matter what, he would go through the suffering and death, crucifixion. For the love, for the honor, for his people, that they would not suffer from the snake and hell forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This beautiful prophecy in poetry is written by Isaiah as the whole world is changing and things are falling apart and it looks like evil is winning. And it's a prophecy for Christ and what he is about and his kingdom. And that same prophecy is for us because his kingdom is for us as well. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you gave these words to Isaiah to promise the people at the time of what you would do through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what you are still doing through him, establishing his kingdom. Promises for us too. And we ask you to be with us today and every day of this new year to know that your kingdom stands now and forever, to know that you desire to save and forgive, to give a fresh start to your people each day, and to also know that evil does not win out, that in the end you will judge with your justice, to know that you are in control. Thank you for this prophecy. Always let it strengthen us, as do all your words. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. The offering is brought forward on the last verse, which is verse 2. It's just 2 verses long.
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the child is Lord of all. Swiftly winging, angels singing, bells are ringing, tidings bringing, Christ
Christ the child is Lord of all. Christ the child is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the child was born for you. Christ the child was born for you.
The congregation is invited to stand for prayer as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For humble hearts, that we would acknowledge the great wonder of our Almighty God, sending his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary under the law, working already for our salvation on the day of his circumcision, and that God would receive our heartfelt thanks for the righteousness and forgiveness of sins we have obtained through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For steadfast faith, that we would ever be thankful for the loving kindness God has shown to us in Christ, and never forget his benefits or lose sight of his promises, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For preservation from prejudice, that we would firmly believe from God's word that we are all one in Christ. For a deep appreciation of our distinctive callings, that we would recognize the beauty of God's diverse creation and our specific place within it, and that we would not resent what God has called us to be and to do, but rejoice to serve him as he has ordained. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our leaders in this world, including our president, governor, Congress, legislatures, judges, and magistrates, and all local government officials, that our God would give them the wisdom and courage to act with integrity on behalf of all people, especially those least able to defend themselves. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need who cry out to God, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Grace, Sue, and Steve, Rick, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Jim, Pastor Shiwi, Pastor Sigmund, and we give thanksgiving for the recovery of President Kevin Wilson. That our Father would remember them, bless and keep them by his grace, lift up his countenance upon them and give them peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the children of God invited to the table of his Son here today, that he would give us his Holy Spirit to discern Christ's body and blood and come with joyful and repentant hearts, and that he would strengthen us by this blessed communion to love him above all and to love one another in his name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious Father, in your steadfast love, you have put off the day of Jesus' return until the perfect time when the number of your elect is complete. Keep your people watchful, vigilant, and awake with your gift of faith until that day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Christ.
angelic bands and chase of hills and mountains and oceans, clap your hands, proclaim the Savior's birth. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth.
The congregation stand for the post-communion blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
We sing Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Now see.